Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hello and welcome to the show. Hey Dad, how you doing?
Good, Tay, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing especially well today because we have a very special episode today.
Yes, we have a guest with us.
We do.
Our first guest we've had.
I think
that's
we
not
had,
family.
I was saying we had a little sister on a while back, but that doesn't she counts, but not this is exciting. We have Emily Darchuk from Wayward Spirits here joining us. Hello, Emily. Welcome, Emily.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great.
It's great to have you aboard with us, Emily. We're glad we've got the opportunity to bring you on and you can tell us about what you do.
Thank you for inviting me into the circle. I'm thrilled to be here with you guys today. This, what a treat.
Absolutely. A treat for us. Well, we want to learn everything about what you do, but we always start with our old traditional question. Did you have anything good to drink this week?
Yeah. Well, for us, we're really excited. Our core product's Wayward Spirit. We launched that September 2020. It's the perfect base for cocktails. Love exploring it, but had a new drink last week to celebrate our new product launch of Whiskey. So had some Whiskey on the rocks and our riff on the old fashioned called the New Era, because we're really innovative, new on traditional spirits and that. So it was a delicious riff.
The Whiskey, y'all are going to learn all about Whiskey and why that's the best pun I've heard in a minute.
Whiskey, it sounds like when you say it, almost sounds like it's an accent or something. Have some Whiskey.
Like a cool accent. Like, I don't know where they speak that way, but I want to go to there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. So Emily is you're a sustainability expert, a head distiller, a scientist. Just how many hats do you wear?
Oh, entrepreneur is the biggest hat.
There we go. That's everything.
It's been an interesting wayward journey to the spirits world through it, and have learned a lot along the way from a lot of true experts in the space and that. So, I think a lot of people can probably empathize in that whenever you have your own business, your own project or your own podcast or anything, every part of the excitement's the constant learning and growth and the ability to kind of, shape the world and your project in its own way with it. So that's definitely been the case with Wayward Spirit. And, I think our whole thing is the name Wayward Spirit and Way Spirit. We're really transparent on what we make and why we make it, but also that wayward mentality to just do things differently for the right reasons. And we're really proud to bring sustainable, true innovation to the spirit case that, still delights and gets you to connect you to where your food comes from and how your products are made in a really unique way that goes beyond just kind of typical marketing fluff.
Amazing. Well,
now, was this something that you thought of like all together, that the whole thing, the way and the sustainability and all that? I mean, and let's do a distillery and make spirits. Did all that come together at once, or was it like one thing at a time?
Where's the origin point for this?
Yeah. So my background's actually as a food scientist. So I have my undergraduate and my master's in it. And coming out of that, I actually worked in food and beverage companies, a lot on dairy, but really in that natural health and beverage space, kind of developing all different types of products. And during that journey, I saw a lot of consumers cared about flavor, about sourcing, about impact. But I also saw a lot of really kind of, big gaps in the food system as a whole that were just systemic and, just kind of tricky ones to figure out. So like kind of coming into that, and then also working for some of these larger companies, that's what used to really drive a lot of innovation and a lot of product development and a lot of the category creation. And I saw a lot of that shift to smaller companies and startups that were able to kind of take risks and have an intentional creative voice and actually solve problems really intentionally in that. So kind of leaving that food and beverage where all that like scientific knowledge and, you know, commercialization and all that kind of experience I gained in, I moved into kind of get my MBA and, you know, wanted to try to connect the dots because I didn't see a lot of that ethos I saw so important to a lot of consumers in categories I worked in before in alcohol. And I also saw alcohol as a really unique and, you know, obvious place to help solve and bridge some of those other food chain systems to kind of help support domestic agriculture and just bring better, more creative, you know, more kind of, you know, mindfully produced products to market in the spirit space.
That's really brilliant because I think that is a consistent, not just a conversation, a concern in the liquor field. Like say we take a spirit like tequila where, you know, the agave plant takes so long to mature and we're at a point of over harvesting it. And the short term answer is like, oh, well, maybe we can try to like work with our agave, but that's not a long term answer. And you're looking way forward and way forward, quite literally. How can we do it in a way that's built into what we're already doing? That's really smart.
Exactly. If you could, it's a podcast. You can't hear my head would be rattling with all shaking up and down with everything you said. And I think when you're having to force a category just on sheer growth, you know, I saw an article come out recently. And I think it was like, is your tequila full of shit? And it's because of all the additives and things you have to do to overcompensate for maybe not the best harvesting or agricultural processes. Because like when you put Band-Aids on it, like people don't know what anything tastes like anymore. And I find that problematic too of, hey, creating a lot of, you know, focus on a category because it's supposed to deliver this. And then you get to the point where maybe there's so many additives and stuff, you lose that connection of what things actually taste like. And that, so totally took inspiration from tequila as a spirit though, because we wanted to, and it's one of our trademarks, have a spirit where you could taste a difference and make a difference. And that's one of the things I love about that category. And I think has made it so powerful in its growth is there's nuance. There's a link to an agricultural source. You're not stripping it to neutral. You're not, you know, in theory, covering it up like with botanicals or other things with it. Like there's some nuance and origin to it. And I was like, can we do that domestically? Can we do that in a way that's super sustainable and almost closed loop with it? And that's kind of our intention and our philosophy and our production with Wayward and where we make the cuts and our focus on fermentation and distillation, but also not adding any additives or flavors or anything on the back end, trying to, you know, create that flavor that's true to our source.
Now, how did whey become the product that you found that would fit what you were trying to do?
Yeah, whey is really interesting. So we use sweet whey. That's been our kind of fermentive base from the start. And essentially, sweet whey comes from cheesemaking. So for every 10 pounds of milk produced, there's only 1 pound of cheese that comes out and 9 pounds of whey remaining. And that's pretty much universal with it. Yeah. And that whey is soft, it's sweet, it's delicate, it's chock full of nutrients. And over 100 billion pounds are produced annually and less than half of that is fully utilized. So, you know, cheesemakers growing their business, you know, inherently have more whey. There's not an outlet for it. You have to use it right away. So you're doing whatever you can, whether that's dumping down the drain, you know, spreading on a field, whatever. And it's just a huge pain point, but also a missed opportunity. You know, some people will invest in a lot of technology and try to, you know, essentially create like bio fermenters off of it or do something with it. And I'm like, let's use yeast for good and actually keep this in the food system and actually use that as a base for fermentative spirits. So you're not having to use virgin crops for something like a spirit, which doesn't have a lot of nutrition on the back end, and you're not having to manage it in a different way. So I thought, you know, my background, especially in the dairy industry, And my passion and connection on like what I thought I could bring to the spirit industry, kind of with an outsider's view and fresh eyes, I thought I could be a bridge for good to help benefit both. So that's kind of how the I found my way into alcohol.
So many good puns here.
We love our cheesy puns here.
No.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of them you could use with that.
Yeah, definitely. So it was just, you know, you kind of go down the rabbit hole a little bit, you know,
but it's,
and you start playing with it and it sparks other curiosities and that kind of evolves on its own. But even when I was doing my first distillations and fermentations, I got some feedback and like, you know, a grumpy bartender, you know, was like, the world doesn't need another vodka. And I was like, you're right. That's the most brilliant thing anyone's ever said. Like, we're not making vodka. And then like that opened the floodgates from there of like, what are we? We can define that. And there's some power in being able to define what you are and why you do it. Which is kind of tricky to do in alcohol where everything's really narrow and defined on what you have to taste like. We just want to taste good and we want to do good.
Wow. It's wild because you are like what you're doing is exactly what like, I mean, that's where rum was originally a byproduct. Like that is something made from a byproduct. And that, so that is in alcohol history. You're continuing the tradition of that just in a really new, innovative way.
My head is nodding again. I love that you say that because people want to go. I always say the alcohol industry is kind of stuck in the 1920s and it's not thinking about the 2020s and beyond. But like the whole reason and where I'm doing things are different, but it goes back on the whole purpose of starting alcohol. It's to preserve food. It's to utilize the local ingredients. It's to kind of have that element of your harvest, you know, to have that on future things. And yeah, we've seen, you know, tons of categories that have been nascent essentially explode because it just makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been a lot of, you know, the craft beer market has exploded and there's a lot of emphasis on, you know, these smaller industries in the food and beverage type thing. So I think this was a good time that you picked to get into this type of a market.
Definitely. Well, it's even interesting when I started this in the journey, talking about food waste was like not a thing done. It was like gross, like don't know what that is. This is, it means not good. Like, and just even the rise in acceptance of upcycling. And I feel it's the one thing everything can, anyone can agree on, you know, with sustainability or anything. It's like waste is bad. Like, can you utilize it and do it? And now there's a ton of statistics that just show, you know, what environmental impact food waste has and also economic impact too. So I think it's just one of those universal things we can kind of get around, which has been exciting. Like I'm a early member of the Upcycled Food Association, and there's a lot of different entrepreneurs that are, you know, have their own wacky passion projects that have kind of come into their own and really defining a conversation. I think it's going to shape the future of the food industry as a whole, which I'm excited about because it's something we need to be thinking about. You can only technology so much. Mm-hmm. We need a connection to where we grow, who grows it, and have some like appreciation for all the steps in it. And that's what we try to do is add value literally from farm to flask.
I love that phrase, farm to flask.
That's, farm to flask, yeah.
That's good. But no, and what you said about like that the liquor industry is a little bit stuck sometimes. I do think that emphasis on tradition and the way things are supposed to be, which is also just sort of a fallacy because the flavor of spirits have changed so much over, you know, the history of distillation. And that this is like we can't, if the things that have been our traditions are ultimately destroying ecosystems and destroying crops, then we have to innovate. Like that's the only way we keep having tasty booze. So it's better to focus on new tasty booze than just keep harvesting the old tasty booze until we're out. And we go, well, what do we do now?
Exactly. I mean, I saw an article recently just even on, you know, the pressure on oak for bourbon because you need a new barrel. And like, you know, you don't want to obsolete a category either. So like, you know, we coming to market, it's really defined on what it is and stuff. So, you know, to be a vodka, you have to essentially strip to neutral and we want it to keep our flavor there. So we can't be that. can't be this, can't be that. So we're defined as a specialty spirit, both wayward spirit and whiskey are both defined as specialty spirits. And that's a category I'm actually excited about because it's like the one where you kind of have freedom to innovate and freedom to kind of do that. And I think it's been a little bit of a catch-all if you're adding additives or flavors or making it taste like something else. But I think there's a huge opportunity. And it's one we're passionate about playing and introducing people to is like you can actually do some naturally created innovation in that space. And to have some of those kind of, you know, guardrails removed a little bit to be in that category, it's tough from a, you know, it's always in a frame of reference placement, but it's incredibly empowering. And I think there'll be a lot more kind of spirits going in that space to do that same evolution you're saying, which is absolutely critical.
Well, I know that my only introduction to whey is that it's my protein powder that I mix up with that I drink my protein shake after I work out. Does your alcoholic spirits, do they have protein in them?
Dad wants to know how many cocktails he can have to meet his protein requirements.
To get healthy, yeah.
Yes, well.
Like Guinness, right?
Healthy drinking. Guinness has protein, so you know.
You say that all the time, and a little bit is true.
So we don't have protein in our spirit. So at that. So, you know, the calorie content's going to be similar to typical base spirits. So 0 grams carbs, about 60 calories an ounce, 0 protein, 0 fat. We're 80 proof spirit. With that being said, though, we fit into that model, right? So we're taking the waste stream from it. We're helping create that full utilization. And that same protein powder is like an extract of that whey that comes a lot of times. There's different avenues, but like a lot of times that's there. But everyone thinks the whey is just protein. It's because you're getting that concentrated powder. It's only a small fraction of what comes off kind of thing. So we're excited to fill in the gaps and give the yeast everything else they like with it. So it's a perfect pairing, but I can't say I have a recipe for you. But maybe next week you can
just share a little in the next protein.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, put that in my protein shake, and I might look like Popeye or something by the time I come out of there.
Don't encourage
it. There's probably better ones to try first. The judgment-free zone, like venture waiver, whatever.
Well, so I know, I mean, obviously dietary-wise, it's not vegan necessarily, but for people that, say, have, like, lactose intolerance, it's lactose-free?
Yep. So we're grain, we're gluten, and we're lactose free. We also don't add any additives or flavors or colors on it. And we're technically not vegan, but there's not dairy in the finished product. So essentially we're creating that wash and then, you know, distilling that through. So we're capturing the flavors that are created within that. So we find a lot of people, you know, are, you know, good for it and happy to find another base. Also, just even our frame of production, like we actually, you know, have about a fraction of the carbon footprint of a traditionally based kind of, you know, we'll call it a, you know, grain or whatever spirit, both because of that upcycling. But also, if you think about it, if you're going to make a grain whiskey or something, you have to add a lot of water to it. And then the heat to break it down in the mash, like all of ours comes liquid. So we don't have to add any water to it. We're preventing all the things that happen to deal with the waste stream, but we're also not growing virgin crop and all that upstream to produce it. And we went one step further and actually got carbon neutral certified for our original Wayward Spirit bottled product. And then part of that was just understanding our life cycle and some all the kind of, you know, pain points and I think opportunities in the spirit industry and how you produce a product.
How would you, so I love the idea that spirits that retain flavors from the point of origin, I always prefer to things that have been filtered to taste like nothing. There's a place for that, but that's not my favorite place. So how do you describe the palates of your two spirits? You've got like a clear spirit and an aged spirit, right?
Yep. So we kind of, and that's kind of where I think the magic happens of even connecting people to what happens. So we produced Wayward Spirit to retain some of those notes with it. So we like to say it has a soft, sweet aroma. Has some soft vanilla oaky notes, some naturally occurring lactones, some warm spice, but a really smooth, creamy finish. So like those notes, whether it's the lactones or the little hint of spice or that kind of smooth finish or that oaky note with other elements of your cocktail, you can lean into it. So we're kind of that perfect base spirit, you know, whether it's a daiquiri or a gimlet or a martini or a paloma, and that you're having the other elements of your cocktail really shine through, and it's helping emphasize the other flavor elements of Wayward. So it's like the perfect base for a cocktail. It's that 1 to 3 ounce pour, works beautifully in place of a, you know, a vodka, gin, tequila, or rum in your cocktail. But like people just love to enjoy it on the rocks, twist the lemon, get a nice limoncello effect with it too. Wow. But we're really proud. We've entered and brought home double gold at New York, repeat winners at New York World Wine and Spirits Competition. San Francisco, we've brought home gold in, also Good Food Award winners. We take that like award-winning spirit, you know, and not a lot of people talk about like an amazing award-winning spirit going into the barrel and then what comes out of it. So we're really proud of taking that and then letting those flavors even blossom more. So you're getting even more expressions of that oaky vanilla notes. You're getting a little bit of toffee, a better, you know, more expression on that kind of spice notes that come naturally through that aging thing. And we're really big on being approachable, not over oaking, not kind of hiding it, not covering it up. So really kind of letting that natural expression of Wayward still shine through the barrel aging versus just kind of, you know, shoving a bunch of oak in it and you can't taste anything anymore. We're really, you know, showing that evolution of a spirit versus being like, hey, we're like a really, really oaky product, you know, with it where you can't taste the base spirit anymore.
Well, it's no secret on this podcast that my favorite drink right now is the espresso martini. So it sounds like it would go good with an espresso martini. It's
designed for an espresso martini.
Exactly. We have a couple on our website. Highly suggest you take it out. One's called the Caffeinated. So you can kind of have your puns along with it, but so good, so smooth, works beautifully with bitter notes and things like that. So the coffee with it. I'm starting to geek out a little bit on espresso tonics. I don't know if you've had an espresso tonic yet, but it's kind of the espresso martini for summer a little bit.
Interesting. Yeah. I got into like soda espresso combos a while ago, but the tonic, that's new to me. I'll check it
out. Yeah. So I'm into that. I love that. And people are like definitely embracing bitter more, which is kind of, I think, fun to just elevate the cocktails that you're making.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I sneaked a peek at your cocktails on your website and I enjoyed the last Wayward.
Yes. And our paper plane riff is the fly away. Like we like to have what we do is important, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Like it's not a joke. It's a spirit to be respected, but like have some fun with it. Absolutely. Like, yeah. So we love to just inspire creation because like, to be honest, like our first customers are fellow Wayward spirits, you know, they're embracing the different, they like stay true to their values and they're like kind of take it on its own. So we love to kind of see cocktails that come out of it and other people's inspiration and how they actually use it in their home. And we'd say, you don't have to do this. Like, trust the flavors, trust your palate and explore and like get comfortable, I think, in cocktail culture and spirits, because that's like what's, I think, going to drive innovation when people have a comfort level to, you know, try different things and question and look for flavors versus, you know, always being like, this is how it should be.
Yeah. I think that's how you get innovation anywhere. It's like you should learn the rules, but you learn the rules so you know how to break them. And it sounds like you learned the rules so you know how to break them.
Yeah. Well, I'm constantly learning all the time. It's an art and a science. Yeah. I think a lot of this. So it's figuring out when, you know, the nuances of it. So there's the guardrails of science, but like how much can you create within it? And I think that's the beauty of food science and why I was even passionate getting in there. It's just like there's very few things where you're kind of solving problems, but you know, also creating delight, you know what I mean, with it. And, you know, you can really see the impact of your work pretty quickly, which is cool.
Well, do these places that produce this whey as a byproduct, do they just give that to you since they're going to throw it away anyway?
So we work within their existing, you know, processes and that, and even to create a supply chain, you know, that of something that wasn't fully utilized before, you know, that's a challenge in itself. And before I had a product knocking on the door and being like, here's my idea, here's what I want to do it. But that's kind of where my background in industry helps. So it's like, we can go to a producer, we can figure out where the gaps are, how can we capture that to meet our spec and to keep that, you know, top quality and, you know, food safe and all those things, and to minimize the impact of it, because they're managing a pain point in the least painful way possible. So how do we fit in and, you know, do that? But we're also really, we think it's important to add value, right? To, you know, support the producers for what they're doing, to add value to that, to be able to grow a category for good, for that. So we're proud to, you know, support that and valorize, you know, an existing waste stream, but we do that also through, you know, our help on how to create that, how to capture it, you know, and add value, you know, creating category essentially too.
Huh, that, you know, that story kind of reminds me, Tay, of when we went over Amora Nonino, how that came about, you know, with the wife that had the idea for it and went to all the kitchen doors because the farmers wouldn't deal with her, and went to the kitchen doors and set up the way to get the grape husk for the grappa. So I think that's really cool way you did that.
Nonino's kind of famously known for being very much like focused on its female producers and supportive of like women distillers. You're a woman working in a space that can sometimes be unkind. Is that something you feel comfortable speaking on?
Front door is not always open for us, so we got to find the back door. And you know, that's the way to kind of baby step through and that, yes, but you know, I think, you know, having some outsiders come in and removing just the pure, it has to be a family lineage, or it has to look like this person, or that's the only person who can kind of, you know, has the what it takes to make a great spirit. I think breaking that paradigm, and I think also trying to, you know, it's easy to just try to pattern match, and that can leave people out of the conversation and out of the ability to add impact to the industry as a whole. So definitely, but like, you know, we're not like this is a spirit by women for women, but you know, it's on our bottle is our mascot. It's a real Highland cow, magnificent. She's has that long hair, don't care, wayward spirit about her. Different type of cow, different type of spirit, but she has these beautiful horns, and it's just even example of like girl cows can have horns too. So like, it's just these little touch points of, you know, the thoughtfulness that sometimes, you know, women or outsiders as a whole can bring into a different category because they weren't getting their needs met, or maybe had access to the traditional supply chains or access to it. So they had to kind of create their own to make sense. And I think sometimes there's beauty in that friction, but I would definitely hope that there's less friction and more opportunities going forward, because we make really good stuff, you know, and we have more taste buds, and we find like a lot of women have liked our spirits because they're flavorful and approachable, and like, we're not shoving a marketing thing down anyone's throat. It's really for anyone.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yes. As far as your distribution, you're not everywhere, I guess, right now, are you?
If you go to our website, so if you go to Wayward Spirit, WheywardSpirit.com. So waywardspirit.com, we're shipping to about 36 states in DC. So if you're listening in the podcast, you want to try it, chances are we'll ship to your door, which is a great way to do it. And Wayski, with our announcement, we wanted to give our first release to our herd members and our kind of online supporters, because that's who got us where we're at today. We launched during COVID, and that's how we really built our business there. So Wayski's online exclusive for now, Wayward Spirits online as well. But we're also just getting into retail. So Whole Foods has brought us in California and Nebraska, Hy-Vee's in Nebraska, liquor stores across Oregon. So California, Oregon, and Nebraska. But it's exciting to see retailers and some other partners and things we have going on, like embracing what we're doing. And I think just having a little bit of that operational freedom coming out of COVID to be able to making decisions out of necessity and more on how to delight and drive, and that we fit in really nicely with that. So we're hoping to be able to expand, but expand intentionally with the right partners. So, but online's a safe spot to always find us.
That's good to know. Also, I heard something in there that sounds like a marketing opportunity for you. You said your herd group, or what did you call it?
No, I knew he was going to pick up on
that. Love it. So if you go on our website, the first thing we ask you to is please join our herd. We send out monthly emails with cocktail recipes, but we also do really cool, like, you know, access to events, but also like digital cocktail cookbooks that, you know, help pair food to a cocktail to have zero waste offerings. Or like, we try to just keep it interesting, and it's a great community. And it's been how we've been able to learn about our customer and, you know, better define our offerings too. So we had a, on our website, essentially like a cocktail quiz to help pair you with your perfect wayward pairing. Because what do you do with a new spirit? Not everyone knows how to do that. So we kind of summed up a couple questions, and we found our herd was about 50-50. Our first questions, do you prefer aged spirits or clear spirits? And it was about a 50-50 mix. So like, we were able to get some even insight on like where consumers are and what they want, and, you know, try to be able to cater that to deliver better products where you're at, where you want it, and like how you want to use it. So we're really see that as part of our community and want to be active and continue to serve it online.
Well, the reason that I picked up on that is our hometown university here, and that is my alma mater, is Marshall University Thundering Herd.
Yes.
So there's a partnership in your future, I guess.
Yeah. There's a partnership, and they're making the stadium even bigger and everything else. So
need some wayward spirits in there.
Bring your herd to my herd and let's collab.
Absolutely.
Love that.
Love it. I love it. Grew up in the mid-Atlantic too, not West Virginia, but kind of Western Maryland and stuff too. So definitely.
Hagerstown, around that area?
Out there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Know that area well.
Yeah, I went to high school at Martinsburg, West Virginia. We were right across the border there from Hagerstown.
Yep. No, a lot of hills. We'd come out cross country meets and huff and puff.
Wow. Well, Emily, this is such cool stuff that you're doing. It's the concern of sustainability, I feel like, can sometimes be a grim topic. It's like, oh no, we have to find these solutions. And it's wonderful to see the excitement of like, yeah, but we can make new awesome things. We don't have to, you know, like it's room for innovation. It's a reason for innovation. And how do you see the future of that affecting the industry?
Yeah, I think we're going to get so quick to have technology solve our problems that I don't want to lose just, you know, some common sense and maybe some old school approaches to kind of connect and that, and keep some creativity in what we're doing. And, you know, also, you know, I think from a sustainability, it's, you know, a pain point or something like that is really an opportunity to rethink things, you know, so not trying to, you know, make it it's an important topic. We need to address it, but I think we can do it in a way that benefits everyone too. So really want to try to be that bridge with it. And I think it's you know, when solutions come to the table, it's a reason to celebrate and, you know, have a drink with it. And I think spirits especially is a way that, you know, connect people, because it's the unexpected avenue to have an interesting conversation that we can all, you know, have, you know, a connection to in our unique way.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about was on your sheet here that your partnership with Ben and Jerry's to bring back the fan favorite Dublin Mudslide back from the flavor nice. Graveyard. How did you do that? And I'm a fan of all things that are like Dublin or Guinness or
ice cream.
Oh, look at that. You got a carton of it.
Yeah.
How did you help bring that back?
That's well, so
they're
cool.
They're phenomenal partners. They kudos to them because they're always looking for, you know, values-led sourcing or, you know, kind of suppliers that meet their high standards, but also, you know, increase diversity and, you know, create best tasting products for them because they know what they're doing. They make amazing products mm-hmm. and that. So like soon after we launched, they caught wind of our story and they're figuring out their innovation cycles a lot longer than ours. Cause they make a lot of ice cream and they were thinking about their future product launches. And one of the things that kept coming up from, you know, essentially their version of the herd, right? They have a flavor graveyard, right. Where they retire products, and their most requested flavor from the graveyard was a product called the Dublin Mudslide. It had been retired about 15 years prior, you know, this cult following of please bring it back. And, you know, through this collaboration, it kind of sparked their inspiration. We can bring back this fan favorite from the grave with a new, more sustainable spirit by adding Wayward Spirit and through partnership and that. And they've been incredible. We're really proud our spirit's in the ice cream, and it's at a level low enough where you can still go to any grocery store across the country and they'll sell it. It's not an alcoholic ice cream. It just has, you know, that hint of spirit
flavors,
in there.
Huh?
Yeah. But I think the other thing too, is being a food science nerd, like you'll notice a difference when you get it out of the freezer. Typically like ice cream's rock hard. This ice cream, just because of that little bit of depression in the freezing point, it's like mm-hmm. scoopable and perfect right out for it. But they really nailed the flavor and it's been amazing to do that branding with it. And, you know, just early embracers, like as a whole on like what we're doing and why we're doing it and caring about food waste and understanding that connection with it. So really proud to have sponsored or, you know, inspired in some way, some like innovation from big companies. And it's nice to kind of go full circle to be like, maybe you can have impact beyond your own little reach, you know, with it. So we do a ton of partnerships. We do things with Fever Tree now, which is an incredible brand. And, you know, did some Stop Food Waste Day was April 26th. We did a engagement with Compass Groups and like just the ability to have these other companies care and to like have some impact through partnership. We're really big on partnership and bringing people together with it. And it's been awesome. You know, the ice cream's amazing. It's on shelves across the country. Check it out. But, you know, really exciting about the future innovations that can come out of this, too, especially as, you know, the topic becomes more relevant and, you know, consumers are, you know, demanding more and more. It's an exciting future on the horizon.
I'm excited. I'm excited to eat that ice cream and to drink your spirit. That's
Love
it.
I'm going to get on the website as soon as possible.
Absolutely. And Dad, I know you're going to find that the ice cream. I know that's priority.
That's right. Yeah, that was the first thing I saw on the sheet. I wasn't even reading in order. I saw, wait a minute, Ben and Jerry's. What's Ben and Jerry's?
It's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie.
Wow. This has been a joy.
Well, yeah, it's like you started a spark and it's starting fires. I mean, you have really grown something and all of you all should be proud of yourselves and what you're doing.
Thank you so much. It's conversations like this that, you know, are that, and, you know, I appreciate the opportunity and like to be your first guest, talk about a spark from there. I can't wait to see what comes next.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. listeners, I don't think I need to tell you that you should go get yourself some Wayward Spirits. but you should. I'm going to. We're all going to. I just, again, thank you so much, Emily. This has been an absolute joy. So do you want to just remind everybody where they can find your product?
Yep. So just go online to waywardspirit.com. That's WHEYWARDSPIRIT.com. There you'll be able to buy both Wayward Spirit and Whiskey. But also we have quite the portfolio of cocktails to explore. You can join the herd and would love to kind of see what other people kind of come up with too as new people join our herd. You can also follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And
go herd. Go herd.
Go herd.
Final question for you. What is your favorite cocktail?
Oh boy. I'm a purist. Cause I like spirit forward. So for me, the nice Wayward Martini is almost like a fat washed effect without kind of suppressing the flavors, but also like a lovely Negroni, a nice daiquiri. Like some of those are really good, but I'm definitely a spirit forward enjoyer. And to me, I wasn't getting a lot of aged spirits that really like fit the bill. A lot of them were too much. So I'm excited through Whiskey to be able to explore those cocktails even more too. So I'll probably have a new answer for you next time. And to me, that's great. The journey continues, that. You know?
Wonderful. And hey, whatever you do next, come back. Tell us about it, please. We'd love to have you back sometime.
I love it. Yeah, well, thank you both. Absolutely. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. We really appreciate it too.
Cool. Cheers.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, listeners, for joining us. Thank you, Emily and Dad, for being here. If you want to find us on the internets, we're Neat Boozecast on Instagram, neattheboozecast@gmail.com. You can email us your questions. If you want to join our Patreon, you get all sorts of fun rewards. You get coasters, stickers. You can check that out. And if you want to share your excitement over this new exciting spirit on the market, you can do that. Where can you do that, Dad?
At Meet the Boozecast group page on Facebook. All the Wayward fans can come right there.
All right. Well, thanks again. I've been Taylor Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been
Meet. Now, is that your cow behind you that you
that's
were mentioning?
Her, right?
That's a different one.
Ah.
Yeah. That's actually the horns go a little bit further where the girl one goes straight up. But yeah, dangerous. Like, you can kind of give yourself horns if you.
I assume that was on purpose, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's why, like, through there I start leaning because I'm like, no. I am a Taurus, but, like, you know, that's too much commitment. You know?
He's keeping an eye on you just in case you get out of line.
Yeah, seriously. They're awesome creatures, though. Like, depending on they're either like a giant Labrador or like a wild buffalo running kind of thing, but they're really, really gorgeous animals. And you know, I don't know if you kind of saw on the website, but we're keeping Magnificent through our line. Like, she's definitely the representative for our spirit. And I think it's kind of, if you're going to get a drink with a cow, it'd be her. You know what I mean?
All right. Drink with a cow. That sounds like a podcast, Drinking with Cows.
I do that podcast.
Let's meet up on location.